Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Let's check in with Joe Myers, movie guy. Is John Wick 4 worth the theater trip?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a spectacular action movie. You cool. know, I mean, it's a great series, you know, and what's interesting about it is each subsequent film has been more successful than the last one. So it's building an audience, you know, with each movie. This picture opened in the U.S. at $88 million.
Wow.
You know, and that's as much as the first picture grossed in its entire theatrical run. So this thing is just building and building. And this former stunt coordinator named Chad Stahelski, who's directed the four pictures, is just one of the most phenomenal action film directors out there. I mean, if I have a criticism of the movie, it's a little long. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it's almost nonstop action.
Wow.
And it has some of the best stunt work I've ever seen. And I mean, there's a stunt where a character falls down these steps outside of a church in Paris that you just say, how in the world did he survive that?
That is a long movie.
Too much wine.
You know what stunt that amazed me most? Is the one where the Oreo rolled down into the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And the girl somehow tactically got away from it.
Right. How did she survive not eating the cookie?
Like, how did they get that one?
It felt like another Keanu movie. It was like the evasion in the Matrix.
Right. How did it not fall into her mouth afterwards? That was amazing, the gravity.
Where would you put it? If you were to rank the four in order of best, where would four come in?
I would say, I mean, it's so hard to do it, but I would say four would be number one, three would be number two, you know, going back into the series, because each one has gotten bigger. I think the budgets have gotten bigger because of the success of this. You know, it was really kind of a little movie that came out in 2014, the first one. You know, people talked about it, but it didn't catch on until it started appearing on streaming and video and stuff, and that has built this phenomenal audience. And this guy, like I said, Chad Stahelski, has used his budget with each new movie in really creative ways. The stories are different, and the money is all on the screen. And I mean, this thing is pulling audiences back into theaters big time, which is so exciting for people like me who, you know, feared for the future of theatrical movies a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is a movie you should see in a theater. I mean,
that's what it sounds like. Yep.
It's spectacular. I mean, it's beautifully shot. You get to go to Berlin and Paris and New York. It's almost like a hyped up James Bond movie, if there is such a thing.
Right, I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, scruffy James Bond, yes.
yeah, but it has that sort of international travel. It has it. There's some great supporting characters, which Ian McShane turns up as sort of one of John's mentors, you know, and it's there's always something that's just going to, you know, catch your eye on the screen. It just keeps moving. It's beautiful. My one criticism would be it is a little long. I mean, you're making a commitment with the trailers and everything they show before a movie.
Yeah, right.
Being at the theater for 3 hours, which is a lot for some people. But I never felt like they just padded it out.
Right. Okay, it's long, but you don't feel like you would edit. There's no 20-minute block that you would take out?
No, I mean, you could, you know, tighten it up a little bit, I'm sure. But the thing about the John Wick movies is they're almost all action. You know what I mean? There's very little slowing down. So it would be hard to cut in the middle of these action scenes.
Hey, dude,
I mean,
you got to get in on this.
Oh, yeah.
This is your kind of movie.
It's your kind of movie.
Yeah,
cool
like
cars,
it.
Car
yep.
chases,
yep.
fights,
everything.
Explosions,
yep.
gunfire.
Everything.
Comedy.
And fully based on revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Which is big in AJ's life.
Just call it AJ.
It all started. What brought this hitman who was retired out of retirement is that the dog that his dying wife gave him was murdered by an
and then,
idiot.
Now it's
and
on.
He was like, it's on.
That was... Snap.
And that's what started this.
Yes.
And each movie picks up where the last one ended. So it's just, it's
smooth.
A really long day for him.
Yeah. It really is.
And speak, speaking of car chases, there's a sequence set around the Arc de Triomphe in Paris where cars go around in circles.
Yeah,
where Wick has this gunfight, kung fu fight.
Around a circle?
Dodging between these cars that are speeding, you know, and some people are getting, some of the villains are getting hit by, it's an incredible scene. And
that's
again,
wow.
It's almost like having one on a merry-go-round.
I want to go
yeah,
see it,
I mean, it
now.
I mean, there's constant invention in the action scene.
Well, that's
you know,
smooth.
And it's really, if you like, I mean, the one thing you've got to suspend is John Wick's body takes more punishment than right. is humanly possible.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's one of the things you just have to accept,
yeah.
you know, that he falls from great heights. He's shot a couple of times, you know.
Right, just get a leg cramp. Oh, hang on. Yeah.
But you don't care because you're in this alternate universe of action and Wick revenging himself. You know, it's Keanu, like we talked about Tom Cruise last year. Keanu is one of the most durable stars there. You know, he goes back to the 80s. He's still a big star who can carry a big movie.
Yeah.
Joe Myers, Movie Guy, is on. You mentioned the 80s. Let's go back to the 80s right now. So we met someone like a unicorn.
Yes.
Okay. His name
I
is.
Saw that.
Yes.
Okay. His
yeah.
name is Matt Lopes. He's
yep.
24 years old. He calls himself a
yep.
movie buff.
Right.
Yep.
But has only seen one movie made before 1995. That was Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Because he likes dinosaurs.
Right.
Right. You see, Joe.
There
Matt.
Are a lot of young. There
movie
are a
buff.
Lot of young people like. There are a lot of young people like that. I'm amazed, you know, that they haven't gone further back because there's so much good stuff to look at.
Yeah.
So
you know
he agreed to watch a movie for us. And the tribe
yep.
picked it out. So he's watching The Breakfast Club right now.
Okay. This morning.
Yeah, it's right now.
As we speak.
Hold on. Let me turn it up.
Pop it up. Let's see
what's happening. Is it still playing or is it over?
He's still staring. He's still staring at the screen.
Out there, I hear something.
Craig. There it is.
Oh, she just got done doing the lipstick.
Oh.
Wow.
Molly Ringwald lipstick. Put between her boobs and
okay.
yeah.
Oh,
and
all right.
Judd
so he's
Nelson,
got like 20 minutes
and,
left.
And Judd Nelson's about to like lay into her for like, oh, that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Hang on.
So you want to give a quick review of that movie? What you remember of it?
I like that movie, you know, and it like all the John Hughes movies, it had a killer soundtrack.
Yes.
You know, Don't You Forget About Me was on that. I remember.
That's it.
You know, and he kind of carried. Through the 80s, you know, one
they only
after
showed
the
quote.
Other.
They didn't play the song.
Right. I thought they play a little bit of the song.
No.
No, they show a quote from the David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only that
yeah.
one song.
Yeah.
Simple Minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Forget About Me. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it had a great cast of all those, you know, hot young actors. I mean, Alan
That's
Sheedy
right.
was great as the nerd. Molly Ringwald was the princess. I think it's one of Hughes' best movies.
What was the song they were playing when they were all dancing around
I was
the library?
Just going to ask, because it's a good one, but I didn't recognize it.
Sounded like
I didn't recognize
like
it either.
Like a new wave type of tune.
It definitely is new wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like a Berlin or something like that, maybe.
I don't think anyone cared.
Yeah.
Like it was one of those songs.
Right.
But without that movie, no one would have ever heard of Simple Minds.
True, yeah.
They had one song that got played after that.
That one
yeah.
song.
Yeah. Alive and Kicking.
Alive and Kicking, yeah. I sing
Alive
and Kicking, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But,
I actually saw them live back then. They were a good band.
Yeah, you couldn't understand the lead singer when he talked.
No, but it's funny because when I watched it the first time, you know, I was around 23, 24.
Yeah.
And it was
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
Funny as hell. And then when you watch
Absolutely.
It again, well, for me, the second time, it seemed heavier because you realize those kids are struggling with who they are and they're trying to figure
yeah.
it out. And
yeah.
You recognize, oh, wow, this is actually an important movie. It's a fun movie,
yeah.
but it's also got
yeah.
an important message.
It's deep. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of sadness in that movie underneath.
Yeah. So, good luck, Matt.
Yeah, really.
He can't hear us right now.
Well, you picked a good one.
He looks depressed.
Well, I thought so, too.
Yeah. Carla DeVito's We Are Not Alone. That's the song that they play.
Okay.
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 What's Matt tweeting out right now?
Oh, let's see.
Help me, help me. No.
He has finally realized that Robert Downey Jr. is not going to be in this movie. He must have seen an image of him wearing a jean jacket as like a younger guy and just always assumed it was the Breakfast Club. And right. He's finally realized it's not happening.
Yeah, he's not showing up.
I like what he wrote earlier. Andrew packed 3 sandwiches, a pint of milk, and a bag of cookies for lunch. Bro takes to school when I eat at 2 a.m. when I'm bored.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He really dislikes the use of the nickname or, you know, sort of fake nickname Sporto.
Yeah,
Sporto. He's like, I'm glad that one didn't leave the 80s.
He also likes Sporto's performance.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't like Andrew until he started crying. Great performance. Who's the kid that plays him? Oh, wait, this movie came out a decade before I was born.
Yeah, that'd be Emilio Estevez, who was Charlie Sheen's brother.
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, he actually has their real last name.
I think this is the best take he's had so far. 80s teen movies always only make one adult character the villain. Seems very teen movie-like.
That's a good observation.
That's a great observation.
And that actor who plays a principal always played such a dick in every movie.
Oh,
what else was he in?
He was in Die Hard. He was the
cop that didn't believe cop that knew what was going on.
He's the commander. We're going to take over this now. Thank you.
Right.
You are relieved of duty. Yeah.
Yep. That guy.
Typecast.
He always plays a real jerk.
Thinks he knows more than he actually does.
But he had that look.
It worked for him.
He was also the guy in Trading Places. He was the guy who was doing the orange juice deal. I ends up in a monkey suit getting violated by the ape. Yeah. Remember they knocked him out? They put him in the ape suit? They put him in the gorilla cage?
No. I watch movies and don't remember every scene.
It's the very end of the movie.
Remember he goes, oh, that one's getting kind of horny.
To his credit, I think that's the best F off in cinematic history.
Yeah.
He's on the phone and someone comes up behind him and goes, hold on a second. Turns around, looks him dead in the face and he goes, F off. It's perfect.
It really is. He was a great actor. He passed away a couple of years ago. Great actor. Yep.
So
terrific.
I can't wait to hear Matt's review on this.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks for the review on John Wick 4.
Oh, my pleasure,
I'm
guys.
See it.
I can't wait to see it.
Yep.
Yeah. Joe Myers movie guy.
I hope you like it.
He's got a really cool podcast on Spotify called Now a Major Motion Picture. Check it out. Joe Myers. Thank you, Joe. Movie buff, Matt Stone in studio.
Matt Lopes,
you mean?
Have I called you Matt Stone all morning?
No.
Okay.
Only once or twice.
Very good.
Oh, no.
I'm making my own guest cards here.
Oh.
Okay. Matt Lopes just watched The Breakfast Club. It's his very first movie from the 80s, only the second movie before 1995.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was quite the experience. I've never
so positive. That can be a lot of things.
Yeah, it's open-ended for a reason. Let me get into it. Jesus. It was great. It had its like ups and downs. I would say it's like I will give it this. Like it seemed like it was a great movie on its own. Like I loved it. It seemed like a little bit like it was a cliche, right? But the reason I feel like it felt that way was because so many movies after it used it as inspiration.
Definitely.
You know?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
But for watching it, it felt so like meat and potatoes, because everything that you see afterwards that comes out like all the years later, like take the basis of that film and they just add more to it to make it more to take it one step further for their
It's like the prototype of this type of movie,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Almost but that's not a bad thing. You know?
You're watching it in its original form.
Yeah.
You're watching the creator.
Yeah.
You know, it's like watching Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, okay, this is the guy who brought that to that guitar,
right.
Yeah. To that instrument,
and it was successful. Really build a success. Right.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was great. The storyline was fantastic. I went through a spoiler warning, obviously. It was fantastic. I love that Andy ended up with the girl who was like I don't know what recluse means. Was that the recluse?
Yeah. That's Ally Sheedy.
That's a word that you
but
don't that we don't use anymore.
Claire.
They call her the basket case.
Yeah, right. The basket case. She's the basket case. Exactly. Thank you. I love that they ended up together. And then I saw the whole redhead going with the bad boy. I saw that from the beginning.
Princess and the.
I did think Brian, the other kid who ended up getting nothing, deserved it more than the other characters to find love.
But he got to write the letter to the principal and tell him,
how do you
F you in so many words.
Yeah.
Remember, he gave him a little shot in the arm at the end.
It's so insane. Yeah. It's so insane that, because his story was about, him bringing, a weapon to school in order to get a better grade. And, that's not why it happens nowadays, you know? Yeah. But, that movie was so, it was so fantastic. I had, there was a bunch of stuff that I saw during the movie. There was a dance montage.
Yeah.
You don't see dance montages anymore in films.
No.
They don't, right? Because now we have TikTok.
Yeah,
so.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it all kicked off with Brian smoking the joint.
Right,
exactly. I mean, Andrew, rather.
Yeah. Yep. And they're smoking in the library. Did the schools in the 80s not have sprinkler systems or anything like that?
There was a lot of smoke in that one room.
Or is it,
lot.
Do I have to just be like, oh, it's a movie, so I have to suspend disbelief?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Because it is cinematic. You can't see him. He emerges like a different person almost. It's cool.
He became a wild man.
There's no way that flies.
Right, exactly. I thought it was nice that they got a break from detention. That was fantastic.
Yeah, 30 minutes for lunch.
Yeah, 30 minutes. It's like a work day.
When did that start happening?
Yeah. It was fantastic. I love how the teacher, in every teen movie, they make the adult the bad person.
Oh yeah,
and in this movie, the adult's a bad person, but he's an actual bad person. That's just a teacher that is only the villain because the kids are the main characters.
Yeah,
you know, they actually made this teacher an abusive, threatening human being,
a very imposing person. The principal,
So that was definitely something that was kind of nice to see. I don't feel like you're gonna see a lot of that nowadays.
Did you get the Barry Manilow reference to
his outfit?
Do you know who Barry Manilow is?
No, it sounds like an animal with a fun name.
Yes.
Sounds like one of the animals of the zoos.
Yeah. They're indigenous to New York City and Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah, Barry Manilow is just a piano
took
player
a class
from the 70s.
He's been alive forever.
Made a lot of cheese music.
Yeah.
Known for those long collars that are open.
Okay. It's a miracle. Yes.
Gotcha. There was a couple of... I feel like, what was her name? Allison had the best quotes in the movie. She had I'm not a nymphomaniac. I'm just a compulsive liar.
Yep.
That was great.
Love that.
Because she led her down that trail.
No, I remember that part of the movie where she was saying she said something to her therapist.
Yeah, she was banging her therapist.
And she ended up banging her therapist multiple times.
Right. So that was fantastic. She was also when you grow up, your heart dies, which was also fantastic.
That's a great line.
That is also a great line.
Yeah.
And I didn't I tweeted this out because I found that funny. There was the kid who played Andy, or the actor who plays Andrew, or Sporto, which is a fucking term I'm so happy they haven't brought. They haven't kept using.
We're not podcasting.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Right. Holy, oh no.
Friggin'.
My bad.
Vince, he's happy.
I'm getting too comfortable, you guys. I forgot.
It looks like you scored a touchdown.
I lay asleep at night before I get up at 5 a.m. to do this, then I don't say that on the air.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you, Vince.
At
least one of you care.
Yes.
It was fantastic. Where am I trying to see? The actor who played him, I didn't like him during the movies, the Sporto, until he started, he had that scene where he, started crying. You saw, his emotion come out more.
Yeah.
And I was like, great performance. Who's that kid that plays him? Oh, wait, this movie came out before I was born.
Right.
Like a decade before I was born.
Right. He's not a kid now.
That's Charlie
my
Sheen's
uncle.
That's Charlie Sheen's brother.
Oh, really?
Emilio Estevez, Martin Sheen's son.
So who's the actor who played the main main guy?
Bender.
Bender, yeah. Who played that?
Oh,
it's not Johnny Depp.
No.
They're all Robert Downey Jr. now.
They're all different.
It's like Tropic Thunder. It's just makeup.
But you know what's funny? You mentioned Robert Downey Jr., and I didn't think of it until you said that, but he could have easily played Bender.
Yeah, 100%.
He would have been a really good Bender.
In a more modern, a couple years
now,
later.
Now, who is that guy? It's Judd Nelson. You see him in that movie and you think, wow, he could have been, why wasn't he in more great movies?
Yeah, right.
I only saw him in one other movie, BBC, about the British Billionaires Club.
Right.
He was great in that.
He was also in Airheads. He was the record agent.
Oh, what a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, he played a good kind of like schmuck in that movie.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of these actors that were in this movie, and I don't remember seeing them in anything.
You never
afterwards.
Saw Mighty Ducks when you were a kid?
Yes.
With
well,
Emilio
yes.
I don't think so. When did Mighty Ducks
He was the coach
out?
Of the Mighty Ducks.
That was mid-90s.
That's
was
pre-1995.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Matt Lopes. Yeah. He's sense. Seen two movies now
yes.
that came out before 1995. One was The Breakfast Club, which he just watched.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I will say, it would have been 1998. The year would have been 1998 if I never saw Toy Story. So it's really just three movies. Prior to 1998.
Wow.
So that's
holy
yeah.
moly.
And he found there was no breakfast involved.
Yeah.
There's no breakfast at all.
Only
no
lunch.
Breakfast.
Only lunch.
Cinnamon toast.
No French toast. No French toast. No syrup. Right. What is this?
And a bagel.
It's nuts. Yeah, they had a lunch scene. That was great.
It's already meant for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and my God. Emilio Estevez's lunch, the Jock Sporto. All
he
those sandwiches.
Yeah, he had three sandwiches.
Donuts, everything.
Yeah. Oh,
banana,
my gosh.
Apple, yeah.
So we were watching this last night, too, and my wife, Amanda, the lunch happens. She's like, but how long was that sushi just sitting in her bag?
No, but it was in the fridge. They had to go get it. That's why they had to go get it. It
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
But still.
It's just a quick line, and like if you're kind of half paying attention, it's like, wait, did she just like pull that out of her bag like 4 hours into
the I thought the same thing. It's like, this could be a whole different scene.
And Bender
they
had
wanted
the,
it to be.
And Bender had the great line. He walks up to the guy's tongue in your mouth to eat that.
Yeah. What did you think of what the recluse did to the piece of art to make it look like it was snowing?
Oh, my God. I hated that. It was so...
He tweeted it out.
I was like, when I it didn't make any... Like, usually when you had dandruff in school, you kept it to yourself.
Yeah,
right. You know? It was embarrassing.
She was embarrassed.
You didn't wear a
basket case. She's a basket case.
The repulsion that you experienced exuded through your tweet. I could feel it.
Or her making
back when you had dandruff, that was what we called a secret.
we also got to watch her make a sandwich where she took the olive loaf and flung it and stuck to the statue. And
that
she
was
took,
a great scene.
And she took pixies, the pixie stuff.
Yeah.
The
pixie sticks.
Pixie sticks, put it on the bread, and then she put Captain Crunch.
Hold it. There was butter on the bread.
On the bread, right.
Then
right.
She put the pixie sticks.
Right.
And then Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch, and then put
it together. Oh, there's your cereal.
There's your cereal. I'm fat, but I'm not that fat. You know? Like,
Matt,
that's
you listed
crazy.
Like 30 breakfast foods.
But I would never do like pixie. I didn't understand that part.
There was no hedge
but also, maybe it was more popular. It was more popular in the 80s, just pixie sticks.
Yeah. Not really.
I've only seen like one or two in real life. And I've never.
Yeah, I know people snorted that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you run out, you run out.
That's true.
So. I would say, I don't know if we want to, do we want to get to like a rating or something like that? Because I haven't even thought about
how
it rating.
Yeah, why don't you give it a rating? Then I have some other questions for you about it.
Okay, absolutely. I would say, it was fantastic. I'm a little biased just because I've seen everything that came out after it. And like, so I already kind of understood what this movie was going to kind of be. So predictability, it was predictable to me. But again, it was shot really well.
Isn't every movie? Like, like 95% of movies are predictable.
Well, it's the one
that throws us a curveball where we're like, oh,
The Sixth Sense.
Good
right.
for them. They got me.
They had to come up with a term just for it. The twist ending.
Yeah,
right.
It wasn't
because
a
when you even you know whenever you're watching this movie, you never think. At the end of this, these kids are going to hate each other. You know that they're going to come together and bond over their differences, but similarities that they're struggling with their differences.
Yeah. Oh, so if that's the case, then there's very few amount of movies that would be the outlier that I shouldn't even consider that, I don't think. In terms of story, I loved it. The characters were great. I think I understand why it got such good reviews. I think I would give it a good 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. And if we're doing
if
we're doing dinosaurs,
that's really good.
8 out of 10 dinosaurs.
Yeah,
that's
if you
great.
Have one dinosaur run through that cafeteria,
it'd have been 10.
Library.
The janitor was the only dinosaur in that movie. He wasn't even that old. He was fantastic. Love that.
He's great. Yeah. I think he wound up my favorite at the end of this rewatch.
Yeah.
The second watch, I liked him a lot more than I. You know, I almost didn't see him in the first time. Yeah.
He's the only one in the movie who knows exactly who he is and is totally comfortable with
him. That's right.
The only one.
Yep.
Yeah. So. I was watching it last night, and I thought we may have picked a bad movie for him because this is a lot heavier than I remember.
Pretty deep, yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's that scene, and it goes on for a long time where you see these kids are just struggling over their differences.
Yeah.
Right.
Are we supposed to be friends afterwards? Yeah.
Trying to figure out who they are in life.
But it's such a necessary scene.
But they all see each other like, you're cool. You hang out with the cools.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're rich. But they all have the same problem.
Yeah.
Right.
They can't be seen with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
The only two who would be seen with each other would be Brian, the nerd, and the basket case.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Which also I liked that he got so emotional. I appreciated that about him.
Yeah.
He seemed so in tune like with his, which is why because he was like, I think probably my favorite character in that whole thing. You see so many characters like Bender that come out after this movie, that kind of kid who has that reputation, and even though this is probably one of the first portrayals of that kind of character in film, it wasn't very much like. It depends on how you thought about it. Because if you thought about it like, oh, this is where it started, then you can appreciate it more. But if you're just watching it like you're watching any other movie, you're like, I know this. I've seen this so many times.
Well, you experienced it.
You know, in the history of movies, there's been benders all the way through. He's not the first bender.
Yeah.
You know,
Like, he's that time.
They changed with the years.
Right. Yeah. There was like Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. So you gave it a high score.
Yeah. I think it was made. It was a very good movie. It was made very, very well. I probably wouldn't, like, if it just came out today, I'd be like, no. Like this, it's so easy. It's so like it seems so simple, you know. Yeah. And I feel like
you know what? But okay, I agree with you to some extent. But I watched it last night, and coming a couple of days off of a school shooting, where everybody says, "Well, why is this happening?"
Right.
And you see these kids sitting there, and they're struggling. And you're like, "Oh, that's right." When you're in those 4 years, when you're in that part of your life, everything seems horrible and difficult. And
but they
some kids
out.
Just can't take it.
Yeah,
right.
They can't handle it.
Right.
It was really it was a weird time to see it right after a school shooting.
Yeah, but they talked it out though. Yeah.
Mattson.
I'm here, baby. Thank you guys so much for having me.
No, thank you.
I'm glad you watched the movie. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad it wasn't a drag.
Yeah.
No. It was I had a very good time with it.
Cool.
Yeah. I do. In the future, if I ever do choose to go back, I don't want to ruin my brand, you know.
But I think you got something going on. I don't think you want to screw that up.
Oh, you need a second.
Keep
one
it going.
I'll come back once a year and do a new.
I'll have a new one called
Not Like This.
Annual dip into the archives.
Yes.
But, and you know, Vince, you guys are Vince, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vince brought this game in.
Yes. You want to play a little Oreo roulette?
No.
Come on.
Oh, no. Ruth was telling me about how you can dip in Oreos and mustard, my guy. Yeah.
We didn't get mustard yet.
Well, you should play the way Ruth plays. She rolls a cookie in the mayonnaise, then doesn't eat it.
Right. Exactly. Who needs rules? Who needs order?
Did you make that game, Vince?
Well, I didn't. I saw it on the internet, and then we just kind of MacGyvered it for what we had.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, every good idea comes from the internet.
Yeah.
I like because you got to roll it down the board. I liked what you called it before, Chez. Oreo roulette.
Oreo roulette.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fat. I'm not that fat.
Much more.
Nobody's hit the hot sauce yet. I was hoping somebody hit the hot sauce because it has like ghost peppers and
stuff. Yeah, I was curious.
AJ, why you want to do it?
Why, just roll into there?
Just dip it in.
All right. Fine.
Oh, yeah. Forget the roll. Just go for it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no.
Wow, AJ.
The real oh, no.
That looks horrible.
We'll be like 5 minutes from
that one. Yeah, that piece is dead.
Fell in. Okay.
Oh, no.
What is that again?
You got a good dip. Put that up to the camera.
Oh, he should do this before a commercial break.
Oh, AJ.
Yeah, what if I get the trots from this?
you only have an hour left.
Okay,
so grab a cork.
I think if you struggle, just shove more cookies in there.
I'll shove an Oreo in there.
I'm just gonna get the Hershey squirts.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I love he's such a loud chewer.
He is.
What's the mixture? What's the mixture like?
Find out, Matt. We got cookies.
No, I'm not interested, dude. I'm not.
AJ, what flavors are you picking up?
Flavors. Wow, look at his face. He looks like Robert De Niro right now. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy, there's a lot of
problems. Yeah, I'm good.
I thought you were going to...
Don't touch your eye.
No. Use my palm.
Don't touch your eye.
My tongue is on fire. My tongue is on fire.
Oh, they got milk? We've got milk.
Oh, we'll dip the Oreo in the milk.
Yeah, have some milk.
But wouldn't you rather dip it in ketchup?
That's a rough ride.
Rough ride now.
Oh my God. Well, I know my tongue is smooth now.
Did you see, AJ, the video of the police body cam?
Yes.
From the takedown of the Nashville school shooter?
Yeah.
Unlike some of the other school shootings, these cops knew what to do, how to do it, went right in the face of the worst danger.
Effective. In 4 minutes.
I wanted to get Brian Foley's take on this. He's town manager of Talon, but former detective, Hartford Police, assistant chief, Hartford Police, manager of Connecticut Emergency Response. What did you think of that?
Well, just wow. And it just incredibly proficient. You know, we only see the bad sometimes of, you know, and the Monday morning quarterbacks of law enforcement responding to these types of scenes. But that video, I love how they released it. Nashville Metro released it so quickly. But I want to talk about quickly about the staff and the school. And before we get into the cops, if you look at that video, and anyone out there that hasn't seen it, please click on it and watch it. It's
tough.
Response to police. It's tough, but it's response to police shooting 101. You got the teacher out in front. She is calm. She's reading instructions off her phone. She's approaching the police officers. That is brave. No one could blame her if she ran to the bluegrass hills of Tennessee there and just took off. She's there. She's given instruction. The other teacher's tucked away by the door, gives the officer the keys to make entry. That is a well-trained school. And if you look, the school could have been reinforced a little better, obviously, with some film on the doors because the glass went quickly. But that alarm is on very fast. So when the gunshots, at least the doors are locked. And so the suspect shoots the glass. And by the way, the suspect didn't even test the doors, so it's almost like the suspect knew that the doors were locked. Shoots the glass. In doing that, you know, 5, 6, or 7 or so shots to break that glass out. That's 5, 6, and 7 alarms to the school to shelter in place. And the video cameras of the suspect going in the school, you don't see anybody. You don't see a teacher. You don't see a student. You see a flashing alarm. It's there, and everyone's locked away. That is a sign of a well-trained staff. Everything I just mentioned, an amazingly trained staff of brave teachers and students doing it right. Now, the cop, when he gets there, Egelbert, he moves efficiently. He goes to the back of his cruiser. He pulls out a long rifle, and he goes through his protocols with the rifle incredibly efficiently. He scans the entire front of the building. The teacher's giving him instructions. He's calm, but he's moving fast. You see other officers arriving. It's just incredible how he's moving through the protocols. You hear him yelling, "Give me three, give me three." What he wants when he's saying "give me three" is he wants a team of four, and that's how you train sometimes, is to have entry teams of four to cover all angles as you move through the hallway and sweep. He gets to about 2.5, and he makes entry, and he's yelling, "Come on." Now, this is a well-resourced police department. He's got a big, long rifle, likely an AR, an M4 or something. You see a guy with a scat gun, the shotgun, come up with a sleeve of shells on it. They all got tac vests on. Another officer's got tac vest helmets, and this is within minutes that they're all there with those weapons. Now, some of the cops did have just their sidearms, but fantastic, you go with there. And if you watch the video, you can see the cops with just the pistols waving the long guns ahead. Let them go first and let them go first. They sweep the rooms like they've been there before. They sweep and they move efficiently like they've trained in that exact place.
That's what I thought. This looks like a military unit that has trained together.
Yeah.
For months.
And everyone trains. After Sandy Hook, every school started training. And I've talked about it here. In Hartford and Connecticut, all the police departments in Connecticut do this exact kind of training in their schools locally. Problem is, back in 2013 and 14, you thought to yourself, gee, what are the odds we'll ever need this here? And boy, those odds seem to just be going up, up, and up, it's going to happen, and you need to be more and more prepared. And this place definitely was. You saw detectives in plain clothes, but they had vests on. You saw different types of TAC officers moving through, and you saw when the video is fantastic as they approached the suspect. They're calm, and you can hear the officer yell, "Reloading." The suspect is reloading. That means everyone jump out and shoot, basically, and they do, and they hit it most efficiently. They move right into secondary. You hear them yelling secondary and security, and that means they're going to go start providing medical to everybody. This is all within in under 10 minutes. So absolutely, I you could nitpick if you wanted to. I don't. I think they responded absolutely perfectly. They communicate with each other. They're well-resourced and most of all well-trained. So bravo to National Metro for the training ahead of that and the school system for the way that was handled. I think that certainly mitigated the amount of deaths in that tragic situation.
No doubt. Yep. And that school in Texas, those cops did the opposite. They went the other direction of the gunfire.
Yeah.
And so to see that, you know, they say when you're brave, it's not that you're not afraid. It's that you're afraid, but you still move forward.
Exactly.
Those guys were very brave. And they did what they had to do. They did it efficiently.
That teacher's given him instruction, and he's incredibly calm. He knows what he's going to see. He knows what he's going to do. And you see him cycle through around and get his going through his protocols with his rifle in his head, mentally preparing for what's about to happen while digesting what this woman's saying and understanding it. It's just an incredible – if you could teach that kind of calm, which is hard in that situation to officers, stoic – as he's moving through and so efficiently out to the back of the cruiser, long gun out. You know, not everyone has a patrol rifle in every police department across the United States, but it's the norm here in Connecticut. So people, you know, understand police officers in Connecticut are very well armed. So,
good.
And it's glad they had that. You saw a shotgun. That's incredible. And you know, sometimes they'll have double L buck and then slugs after that, but those things are impacting. And you know, I've been in those scenarios where you just have your pistol and you get that guy with the long gun and the tac vest in front of you, because they're going to be much more proficient at eliminating a target than most are with just a pistol.
Well, to think that, you know, when you're going through all this, you're thinking, well, I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to my family. This might be it for me. I'm going in. I didn't know my day was going to be like this.
And
you're plowing through. Not only do we have to thank them for that bravery and efficiency, but nobody wants to kill a kid who's having problems. That's a horrible end of this, that was a human that they eliminated, a shooter. They're gone. Great. But now those cops have to live with that. It's tough for them all the way around.
You hope they're not thinking about their family as they're entering there. You know, you hope that it doesn't, you know, maybe they were, maybe who knows what people think.
You're probably right. The Texas guys are thinking about their families.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Brian Foley's on. He's a Talon Town manager. Not to shift gears here, but can we talk about your recent budget meeting?
Go ahead.
Did you guys hear what happened?
No.
Why don't you take it again?
I didn't ask you if I could bring this up. There was a Zoom budget meeting for the town of Talon, and someone hacked it and started playing a porn.
Oh, no. Oh.
How's that investigation going?
Obviously, the part that you're missing is there was some awful language ahead of the pornographic images.
Was that part of the movie?
No. What I could tell, no. I mean, you know, who knows? I barely looked. You can imagine it was awful. And you know, we had the state police come right away. But I got to tell you, as I'm sitting there, you know, my mom watches these things at home.
Oh, no.
And
that's
she
tough.
Obviously sends me a text of OMG. And she doesn't text OMG. She
right.
doesn't, you know, she doesn't do that.
Was it in bold caps?
Yes, it was. Oh, no. And I get home and she's holding the rosary beads. And I'm like, oh.
Put down the beads, Mom. It's okay.
So the investigation continues on that?
It does. The state police are great. You know, I love that how our troopers here in Talon have actually very positive hopes. They approach everyone like they're going to find out who did this, and that's fantastic, you know, because after 25 years in the business, I'm like, oh, you know, go ahead and try and find out. But Connecticut State Police Computer Crimes is on it. Our resident troopers are on it, and they'll dig into it and see what they can find out.
I couldn't talk to you without bringing it up once just to get your take on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you can't talk about it too much.
Right. Investigation.
Well, you know, I barely looked and saw it, but I think the suspect had well-manicured eyebrows, a thin mustache in his 30s, muscular build, well-defined abs, and a birthmark just to the left of his belly button. But I barely looked at the video when it was up.
Now I'm going to see OMG.
You're going to get another text from your mom in about 3 minutes.
That was from his mom.
She never... Hey, wait a minute.
I'm kidding. All right, Brian, thank you for coming on.
All right, guys.
All right. Thank you for what you've done for us as a police officer, detective. A comedian volunteers to eat Oreo dipped in homemade hot sauce. All right. He volunteered to do this.
Yes, he did.
Hold on 1 second, Matt. I want to introduce the panel we have here. Yes. Ruth just did it. She's still alive.
Yes,
so
she is.
That's a good sign.
Although that room's really hot right now.
AJ did it earlier and burnt his tongue off.
I did, yes.
Judge Lisa Wexler in studio.
Welcome.
To witness this. I think she'll be our representative in the suit that will follow. And then we have Matt Lopes, comedian, podcaster.
That's me.
Just watched The Breakfast Club.
Yep.
First movie.
Yep.
That he's ever seen.
My daughter's favorite movie.
From the 1980s.
Yep.
And comedian Vince Barry in.
Hey.
He made this hot sauce.
Yes, he did.
By the way.
I'm the responsible party.
Yes.
Right.
Your Honor.
Judge Lisa, would you like to try some hot sauce?
No. Thanks anyway. No.
That was a quick ruling, wasn't it? No.
No.
No gavel and nothing.
Can we not kill the judge today?
Should just use a shoe now.
So, Matt, you're volunteering to do this.
Well, I saw Ruth have such a fun time with it. So she managed to stay positive. So, like, how bad could it be?
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
She did try to fly away at the end.
That's, yeah. The room turned into a smoke box, like from Breakfast Club.
It really did.
All right,
fantastic.
Vince, you want to just tell us what's in this hot sauce?
Yeah, so we've got like 7 or so varieties of peppers. I just went to the Chinese produce store down the street from my house, bought a bunch of spicy looking ones, and then also threw some ghost peppers in on top.
So he doesn't even know.
That sounds like something you want to eat.
All the signs were in Mandarin. I don't know.
Yeah, he calls it oops.
All right, just get the milk ready. Even though I'm lactose intolerant, I'm going to...
You got to dip it, though.
He's dick, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. He's in deep.
Now you,
he's scooped.
Hey, so he's,
at any time, your guys are good?
We're ready.
Yep.
All right.
It's time for Dumbass News.
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. He just bit the cookie. And ready his brows.
He ate the entire part that was dipped
in. Brow is furrowed.
The hot sauce.
Brow is furrowed.
Four.
Oh,
he's
making,
not smiling like
he's
Ruth.
Making the ice.
Oh, boy.
He's making the ice.
Oh, no.
He's making the ice stepped in.
That doesn't taste good at all.
Forget the milk. Where's the pot?
It's the most horrible. Like, the mixture doesn't do well at all.
No, it does not.
But I knew that going into it. I don't know why I did that. Like, the chocolate part of the cookie, I understand, but it's the cream.
Peer pressure.
The You're thinking
the
about
hot
it
sauce
too much.
Does not mix.
No, it does not.
I'm thinking about a pretty good amount. No, right away. That was a horrible mistake.
Immediate to the milk,
right?
Right to the milk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just done. I want to get it out of my mouth.
If you could train your tongue right now, you would. Did your tongue smell like mine was?
Thanks for having me.
Next appearance will be in the second floor bathroom.
And the last movie before he
so
died
good.
Was
Don't
The Breakfast
shoot.
Club.
Oh, you won't forget about me.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's staying.
Nasty.
It's nasty. It stays.
It does. It does. It repeats itself like a bad hot dog.
Oh, no. Ruth, you still feeling it, or is it good? No. Fudge. Like, what's
yeah.
made to Oreo?
Well, the top of my mouth's numb. I know that. Like, right here.
All right, Matt's drinking more milk now.
That part's numb. Oh, no, I'm good. Rinse his mouth
now. You know, it's funny. The guy who made it hasn't tried it.
No,
he just chugged
it. Yes, he did.
That was a gulp from
Mama
the cup.
Yeah, I wouldn't stand behind him for a couple hours.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's chugging milk right now. He's not.
Oh, he's swishing it.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, you got to swish. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean,
about the mouth. The mouth going numb and like your lips going numb.
Yep.
I did a good job.
Well, you're Frankenstein. You made that monster.
I did, yeah. It's kind of my fault. So I felt I had to take a shot. You know what I mean?
Frankensauce. He did it again.
Oh, my God.
Why more? Because I'm on live radio and I'm trying to get hired by a radio station.
Okay. Wait.
For the wrong reason.
Oh, wait. Hold it. And now I'm on the silence for your car seat and ride home.
I'm wearing cushion.
I'll call in and let you.
You know, it'd be weird though if he did have to get taken out
milk.
On a stretcher. He has a Superman shirt on.
He does.
It's like, well, yeah, that's we found look. Kryptonite, didn't
right,
we?
Right, right.
I think he found it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm still standing.
Sauce man.
Yeah, between the two of them, they've downed all of the milk now. So, like, if there are future problems, there are no solutions.
Well, there's a gallon.
Yeah, oh,
a gallon.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't just bring that.
So. If it wasn't for the spice and the bad taste, actually pretty good hot sauce.
It is a good hot sauce. It's just been mixed with a cookie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, I was like nachos, tacos, perfect.
I'd love that. Like, for a hot one sauce, it'd probably do really well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
It's funny, because I invited Judge Wexler in to talk about this whole different story.
Totally.
And now she's going to eat
matter.
Hot sauce.
Yeah.
On the
I'm enthralled. Right, yeah. I'm watching the eyes to see if they're tearing.
You're up next, Judge.
Would it be murder or manslaughter? What are we talking about?
I'm going to call into her new show. It's called Lisa on the Law.
I wish you would. Say,
so what's the liability when someone drinks hot sauce on your show?
I think our manager talked about that.
Right. Assuming the risk. That's how I would answer that. You're assuming the risk.
It's a general manager pulling in.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.